The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Over on the U.S. front over the weekend, we had U.S. President Donald Trump posting a tweet warning of an epic stock market crash if he's not re-elected in 2020. Daringer, this guy.
Yeah, you know, he's behind in every poll when it comes to his potential Democratic challenger. Yeah. But that was the case in 2016, wasn't it, with Hillary? He was way behind, and yet he turned things around. So in the latest update in Trump's 2020 campaign, he's cutting ties with three members of his polling team after those grim numbers that we mentioned. And of course, Joe Biden, the former vice president, Elliot, is the front runner by a long way, but he's an old man. He's about 76 years old. Do you want to get a guy of that age running against another old guy?
You know, I'm okay with that, but I'm very concerned for Joe Biden and even President Trump as well, because as a president, you're doing a lot of traveling. It's so taxing. Do you even get 8 hours of sleep? No, I think two is the new eight if you're a U.S. president, right? So how's your body going to handle that? It's tough.
Yeah, and of course, Donald Trump celebrated his 73rd birthday last week, and his weight is a concern to a lot of people as well.
Oh, for sure.
He has put on weight since he's been in the presidency.
Well, I mean, come on. You're having cheeseburgers in Japan.
Well, I hear that his diet's become healthier. There were reports that he's eating more fish and he's trying to cut back, but I'm not seeing the results.
This is interesting. We gotta watch his weight, that one. Well, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is set to deliver a speech criticizing China's Human Rights Accord, I beg your pardon. This is on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, but Trump at the last minute stepped in and he stopped that speech from happening.
And just as well, because, you know, Trump, he's decided to delay the speech to avoid upsetting Beijing ahead of that, Ryan mentioned at the G20 meeting coming up in Japan at the end of the month, and he wants, surely, you know, to try and... There's very frosty relations at the moment, and this is the last thing that those relations need.
Yeah. Also, the U.S. Setting their eyes once again at Russia. According to the New York Times, the U.S. is ramping up online attacks on the Russian power grid.
Yeah, that's according to the New York Times, the U.S. Ramping up those online attacks. And, you know, why is the U.S. making the move now? That's the question, Elliot.
Yeah. Why the Russian power grid specifically as well? Mm. Ties between the U.S. and Iran also not getting any better either.
Yeah, indeed. I think you know, Trump has made Iran its new enemy, the biggest enemy of all. Of course, North Korea is not there anymore because of reasons that, you know, they're trying to get that peace deal going. And also, of course, with Russia, there's always different elements of Russia-U.S. relations. So Iran now is the big dark force that the U.S. is looking at.
Yeah, because oil is in the picture as well, right? Well, let's get more from our Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief, Nirmal Ghosh, who's on the line with us from Washington. Nirmal, thanks as always for taking the time. Good morning to you. Trump recently posted a tweet warning the U.S. of an epic stock market crash if he's not re-elected in 2020. Nirmal, you know, is this tweet, you know, is it going to sway the U.S. voters into voting for him again? What are your thoughts?
Hi, good morning. Yes, this is a theme that he is likely to harp on throughout the campaign. And yes, it will make a difference. But of course, the election is more than a year up the road and all kinds of things can happen between now and then. So there is no guarantee the messaging will remain consistent or will hold. It will change according to the circumstance and the context. By the time the campaign gets into its final weeks, conditions may be different. Many economists are worried there may be a recession by then, which would undermine the president's arguments. Well, you could equally make the point that even if the economy is down at the time, in a slowdown or in a recession, he will say he is the one who can kick it into life again. So right now, way too early to come to any conclusion on this. What may be true today will not necessarily be true this time next year.
Well, Nirmal, Trump at the last minute, as we heard, delayed Vice President Mike Pence's Tiananmen Square speech in the hope that he might land a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Did Trump make the right call here? And you think it will get him that meeting with the Chinese leader?
Yes, well, the reports are that this came at the request of the Chinese, though it is unlikely we will get any official confirmation of that. In the greater scheme of things, it is a minor concession. We mustn't forget that President Trump and President Xi Jinping are supposed to be friends after all. On the trade deal, President Trump has said America can afford to wait. So it's a question of how much pain is inflicted on China and conversely on the United States. And who will blink first? The meeting at the G20 is going to be critical, but given the growing level of U.S.-China rhetoric, it may come to nothing. President Trump has said there are going to be more tariffs if President Xi does not show up in Japan. That puts the ball in President Xi's court, but it is hard to see him conceding anything in the face of such public pressure. Back to the question, if Vice President Pence did agree to wait on the request of the Chinese government, it makes sense as a sort of tactical accommodation, a small olive branch to alleviate the high volume of the public rhetoric, but not much more than that.
Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh on the line with us from Washington. Nirmal, according to the New York Times, the U.S. is ramping up online attacks on Russian power grid. Why now and why specifically Russia's power grid?
This should not really be unexpected. I mean, the U.S. defense establishment is bound to be crunching scenarios and making contingency plans, and this would be an ongoing process. There is wide concern over Russian interference in the United States in manipulating public opinion and in the vulnerability of U.S. infrastructure to cyber attacks. Cyber is a new and critical front in today's warfare. If you can cripple a country's infrastructure, you can win a war without firing a shot. In this case, there is an additional aspect. The New York Times report implies intelligence agencies are not fully sharing information with the president because they are worried he may disclose it. If that is true, it once again underlines a disconnect, if you will, between the president and the professional national security community. And that itself is not necessarily unusual in any country, in any system. We all believe everything should operate seamlessly, but in reality, governments are vast bureaucracies, often with people working in their own silos.
Well, normal U.S.-Iran relations at an all-time low from the looks of things, and Trump is consistently criticizing them, pushing the U.S. to the point of a potential conflict with them, right?
In short, yes. Because there is a dangerous gulf between the two countries in terms of expectations and in terms of culture as well. We've seen how Iranian leaders say they want to be treated with respect. That is a big deal in Middle Eastern and Asian cultures. Not that it is not a big deal in the United States. It is a more critical element in the Middle East and Asia. The United States does have a habit of underestimating other countries and other cultures' nationalism. So we have a situation that is incredibly volatile and could tip into a hot conflict anytime because there are various actors involved, including proxies, mostly on Iran's part, may or may not be under Tehran's control. If you take the Houthis, for example, in Yemen, they are backed by Iran, they are trained and equipped by Iran, but they don't necessarily do everything under specific orders from Iran. They are involved, after all, in their own conflict with the Saudi and US-backed coalition, and that is a full-scale war.
Thanks for that, Nirmal. You're listening to Nirmal Ghosh, Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief. Last one for you, Nirmal, before we let you go. India deciding to raise tariffs on imports of 29 goods from the United States after having deferred the move several times since announcing it last year. Nirmal, why has India decided to do this now at such a crucial time?
Well, as you say, India has been delaying retaliatory tariffs, but this time around, with the U.S. having cancelled preferential trade status late last month, and with Prime Minister Narendra Modi feeling strong after having won a second term, he can't be seen to be too acquiescent to the United States. While the two countries have convergent interests in defense and security, they are pretty far apart in trade. The United States trade negotiators believe in free and open markets, but India has its own domestic imperatives and constraints, and it remains a sort of mixed economy. There is going to be friction on trade going forward, no doubt about that. The challenge for both, really, is to separate trade issues from strategic issues. We'll have to see how it works out when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visits India later this month, on the 24th of June. That will be an indicator of which direction all this is going in.
Thanks very much, Nirmal Ghosh, Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief, speaking to us from Washington. Nirmal, take care, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.